mention what their favorite hero of faith is in the middle of the scripture, and just take a couple of minutes and say why maybe it's important to you. Al, would you like to start that tonight? Are you prepared to do that? If you want to, I won't call you out. I won't do that to you. But if you have one in particular that sort of just this has a special meaning to you, or one that you just have enjoyed studying as we go through this, and I challenge you to study some of these out for yourself as we're going through this chapter in Hebrews chapter number 11, and maybe take a couple of minutes just to share one or why it's important to you one Wednesday night. Then also last Wednesday night on the way home, if you remember, I challenged you to try to think of some modern-day heroes of faith. And Josh Slate takes me on the way home. He's not here tonight. But one that he brought up, and you agreed, disagreed, doesn't matter, but I thought it was a pretty good one that he came up with, was Tim Tebow. And we know that, you know, Tim Tebow stood for his faith. I actually watched a little bit of a documentary this week on Tim Tebow on how that he was homeschooled to a Christian family, and he has stood true to his faith through thick and thin. And there's probably been times when he probably would have liked to have laid it down to keep people from talking about him and maybe even to progress his professional career. But he stood true to his faith even through all of it. So maybe if something hits you throughout the week, you know, this is what Bible study is supposed to be about. I know I get kind of tuned up and get to preaching a little bit on Wednesday nights, but this is here for us to study the Bible together. But Hebrews chapter number 11 tonight, I want to start in verse number 23, maybe one of my favorites here, or maybe just one that we can relate to because we've heard this event in the Bible and so many times, and I know that I've heard it since I was just a little kid in Sunday school. But in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 23, the Bible says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." I'm going to stop right here for just a minute because we're going to turn over to Exodus chapter number 1 and just a few verses in Exodus chapter number 2. So if you want to turn with me there, we're going to read the last verse of Exodus chapter number 1, which is verse number 22. We want to look at Moses. I want you to notice how it says it in Hebrews chapter number 23. It says, "By faith, Moses." But I want you to notice also how that Moses' faith and his position in Hebrews chapter number 11 as a hero of faith, or if you want to call this the hall of faith or whatever, his induction into that, didn't just start with Moses. It started a generation before that. So in Exodus chapter number 1, verse number 22, Pharaoh is scared to death that the children of Israel are going to multiply and they're going to have a great army and they're going to be able to defeat him. So he begins to take measures to prevent that from happening. I don't know what we got going on, but I got a little fuzz tonight. And Pharaoh, in verse number 22, I'm going to try to stand still. I don't know if that's possible, but I'll try. "And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, 'Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.'" So as Pharaoh is beginning to be afraid or taking precautions to be sure that his slave population doesn't get stronger than his people and overtake him, he begins to say, okay, so in order to prevent this, we're going to have all the male babies killed. And you can keep all the women, the little girls, you can keep those, but we're going to kill all of the male children. If you go back a few verses before that, he had actually instructed the midwives to kill the babies as they were born, and the midwives feared God, so they didn't do it. You know, even now, today, don't we need people who fear God more than they want to be popular with what's going on? I mean, you can just, yeah, I don't even have to go any further than that. And I'll go ahead and make the statement because I don't want to beat around the bush. Abortion is murder, and I completely disagree with it. So we'll just go ahead and make that statement so you don't have to wonder how I feel about that. I believe I can stand on God's word with that. So we'll move on from there. But verse number 22, Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Chapter 2, verse number 1. "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Now, can you imagine trying to hide a baby for 3 months? I mean, we got some newborns in the church, and I heard Jet screaming just a few minutes ago as Justin took him out. I don't know how in the world she hid him for 3 months, but by the grace of God, she was able to hide her baby for 3 months. And look in verse number 3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took him for an ark. She took him for an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. In other words, she made a little boat. And she took her little baby and she put him in the boat and she laid him just in the edge of the river where maybe some weeds were sticking up or maybe where he would just kind of lay still for a little while and maybe not take off. And then she had her daughter go and stand on the riverbank. I want you to watch your baby brother and I want you to see what happens to him. So as his sister's standing there in verse number 4, standing afar off, I'm going to put this in my own words, to see what would be done to him. Verse number 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh, how about that? Probably one of the most important women here on the scene comes along. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. Because if there's one thing that we know, there is no man that is really good at telling his daughter no. My girls have me wrapped around their little fingers. They can get just the same way that Silas does Autumn. He can get anything from his mama. If he sends her one of those little texts that says, Mom, I love you, and blah, 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 yeah, she's hooked. Hook, line, and sinker. My daughters can do me the very same way. Addie had some important news in her life today about an EOG that she had took, and she called me and just told me that, and I could hear the excitement in her voice, and I just about started crying, just her talking to me on the phone. But I was in the plumbing shop, and crying's not allowed in the plumbing shop, so I had to choke it down and go on. But these daughters can have their daddies just wrapped around their fingers. So look, here, the ruler who has decided that all male babies are going to be killed, his daughter finds the baby. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. Do we think this is coincidence? Absolutely not. God has a plan. God always has a plan. Think about the faith that it took for Moses' mom, first of all, to hide her baby, to keep him hidden and nobody else know about him for 3 months. And then think about the faith that it took for her to take her little baby. See, he can't even hide in the middle of church tonight. I can hear him right now. So how did she do that for 3 months? I tell you, God was with her. You know, if we trust God, God can do anything. But now think about the faith that it took when they took that little baby and they laid him in that little boat that they had made and they placed him out here in the river not knowing what was going to happen. And she walks away from her baby. Actually, she probably may not even been the one to actually lay him in there because she didn't want to be caught. She didn't want something bad to happen because of what she was doing. Then to have her daughter sit and watch her little brother to see what was happening. Just think about the faith that she had to say, God, I trust you. I know that this is a goodly child. I know that you gave me this baby. And God, I trust you. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to be sure that this baby grows up in a way that you can use him. Be sure that this baby grows up to be whatever you want him to be, God. We as parents need to have that same outlook for our kids. Look, we'll do whatever it takes to be sure that they get a good education, to be sure that they get the things in life that we think they need. We'll do all of those things to help them get a good start, put a little money in the bank for them. Hey, when they get old enough, we'll help them find a vehicle, we'll help them find a house. But the main thing that we can do is say, God, I know that you gave me this child, boy or girl, it doesn't matter, because you want to use them for your glory. Now, God, I trust you. I'm going to give my kids back to you, and I'm going to trust you that you'll do what's right in their life. So as Moses' mother takes and lays him there in the river, and she has her daughter watch, just think about the faith that it took. So yeah, in Hebrews chapter number 11, it says, by faith Moses, but man, the faith that he was able to see in his mother was extraordinary. Verse number 5, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said the sister of Pharaoh's daughter, Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. What in the world? So now Pharaoh's daughter finds this little baby out here in the river. And when she finds it, here stands this little girl, just happenstance, on the bank of the river and says, hey, I see that you have compassion for that baby, and you're not going to kill him, so would you like for me to go find somebody that can feed this baby for you? And Pharaoh's daughter says, yeah, go find me somebody. And she goes and she finds the baby's mama to come and take care of Moses. Look in verse number 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. So now not only is she raising her own son and nursing her own son, she's being paid to do it. I bet some of you mothers would have liked to have had that position. All of those sleepless nights when you got up and us sorry husbands wouldn't even roll over to say, well, at least I'm getting paid for it. Maybe that would have meant something. But the faith that she had to take her baby and lay it out there and trust God, and now look how God has just circled this whole thing. God is blessing this whole thing. He has put the baby in the right hands. He has put the right people in the right place, and now mama's raising her own baby and getting paid for it. Man, that's the kind of faith that I need to have in my life so that God can work in my life. Verse number 10, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. Now let's turn back over to Hebrews chapter number 11. So as we read Hebrews chapter number 11, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months. We just read where his mama hid him of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. So because they weren't afraid of Pharaoh, but yet they feared God, and that's not a, oh, I'm afraid God's going to strike me dead. That's a, I love God, and God's got a purpose, and I have a reverence for God, that they took and laid their son out there in the river. And then we've seen how God worked in that situation. I want you to know that it's important for us tonight to know that your stance of faith, whether or not you stand strong in the faith, will directly affect others. It will impact other people's lives. Hey, I know, you know, it's no secret that we are still going to fall and we're still going to fail and we're still going to come short. But, you know, even in my shortcomings, I can be faithful. Even in my shortcomings, I can be faithful unto God. And you say, well, what do you mean? Hey, you know, there's one thing about falling short. There's one thing about messing up. There's one thing about maybe just absolutely just blowing it. But then it's what do you do after that? Do you say, well, I'm done. I'm going to walk away from God. I'm going to go do my own thing. Or do you say, you know what? God's always been faithful to me. Even though I messed up and I've had this moment of lapse, I've had this moment of failure, I'm now going to get up and I'm going to turn my eyes back to God and I'm going to say, God, forgive me, and I'm going to go on for the glory of God. That's what matters in our lives when we find ourselves in that situation. And whether or not we do that will directly impact somebody else's life. Moses, can you imagine? I got to continue reading before I get ahead of myself. Verse number 24. I'm having trouble with this standing still thing. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Don't you know that Moses had it made in Pharaoh's house? I mean, here he is. He's being raised as Pharaoh's grandson. He's being raised right here in the palace, everything that he could possibly want. And then as he becomes of age and he begins to realize what's happening and really of who he is, and that he's maybe a little bit out of a place, you know, he could have just said, you know what, I don't care. I'm going to stay right here where I've got it made. I can have absolutely anything I want. I'm going to live right here with Pharaoh and Pharaoh's daughter, and I'm going to take a life of luxury. I'm going to take the easy route. I'm going to challenge us as Christians tonight that when having faith is not the easy route, that we still choose to have faith. Sometimes not standing for the faith. Sometimes choosing to let our faith take a back seat. Sometimes choosing the way of the world would be a whole lot easier. But I will go ahead and say this. Whether it be in the end or in the middle of it or at some time during that choice, it may be the easier, but it is never the better to let your faith shrink, to let your faith take a back seat. It will never be the better choice. But look at verse number 25 again. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He could have stayed right where he's at, but instead he decided, I know who I am, and that's who I'm supposed to be. Verse number 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He said, I'd rather be reproached for God, for Christ, than to have the riches and the treasures that are in Egypt. Sometimes standing for our faith may cost us. Hallelujah. Sometimes if we choose to stand, it might get into your pocket a little bit. It might get into your friend circle a little bit. Hey, I know some of you. We've had personal conversations, and you have told me that since the day that you have chosen to follow Christ, since the day that you have chosen that you're walking away from that old man and you're going to let the new man take over in your life, that you're going to stand for Christ, that you're going to have faith, it has cost you some friends. It's cost you some dear friends. Some of you, I'm sure that if we had time to tell the stories and tell the events in our lives, we could think of a time that if we chose to let our faith take a back seat. Hey, used to when I was an outside salesman for United Plumbing, I knew there were some customers, they bought tons of material. I mean, they actually had PVC pipe delivered to them on truckloads. And I actually had wiggled my way in to have a contact there. And I knew if I was willing to let my faith take a back seat, and I was willing to do some things that I didn't have no business being part of with these customers, I could have made all kinds of money. I'd have been selling them plumbing pieces just hand over fist. This is not bragging on me. I'm thankful that God convicted my heart and God kept me in the right path. And God said, look, it may look better, but I guarantee you the end won't be better. I'm thankful that God gave me the spiritual faith to stand at that point in time. It may cost you choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense or the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he be destroyed, the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, where the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. I'm going to stop reading right there for tonight. I want you to also look at it like this, that when you take one step of faith, it will lead you to another step of faith. I tell our boys that we are playing a little bit of baseball right now in the summertime, and I get the privilege, I guess it's a privilege, I'm dealing with a bunch of 15, 16-year-old boys, and sometimes I don't know if that's a privilege or not because they're cocky and everything else, and I have to try to keep them at bay. But I was telling them just the other night at a baseball game, I said, guys, if one of you will start hitting is contagious. That's all you got to do. If somebody will just hit the ball, the next one will hit the ball, and the next one will hit the ball, and hitting is contagious. And sure enough, it is. But I want to tell you that making a choice to stand for your faith, making a choice to say, you know what, even if it costs me money, friends, popularity, whatever it costs me, I'm going to stand true to my faith, it will also lead you to another decision of faith. And when you decide to take that first step and choose your faith and trust God, and you see how God works in that situation, the next step, not always, but most of the time, is a little easier. And look after we said that by faith Moses, we said that way back in verse 23, and then in verse number 24, and then we get down into verse number 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Verse number 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell. It's just boom, 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 boom. God increasing his faith. And Moses being able to share his faith and allow his faith to allow God to work just magnificent wonders. But tonight we got to understand to take that first choice of faith. So let's go back for just one second. I'm almost done. So if we go back all the way to this, if we go back to where in verse number 23 we were talking about Moses' mother. Look, I got to thinking about this today and about got twisted up thinking about it. Can you imagine the day that Look, this is how, this is the reason your faith and your stance of faith is important. Very important. Your faith, we said a while ago, your faith will impact others. So we know that Moses' faith, look, led the children of Israel. Look, God done all of the work. But by Moses being faithful, he was used to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And we see all the wonderful things that God did and how he provided for them. Your faith also impacts others. So I wonder what age, and this is my imagination just a little bit, I wonder at what age or at what time in Moses' life did somebody come to him and say, boy, do you know who your real mama is? Let me tell you a little something about your real mama. Let me tell you why she's here, while you're here. Because Moses, you should have been killed. But your mama had so much faith. She trusted God so much that she hid you for 3 months. She put you out in the river, not knowing exactly what was going to happen, but her complete faith and her complete trust was in God. Somebody, maybe at some time or the other, told Moses that. And I believe that that could be in a direct relationship to why, when he come of age, he chose to suffer the affliction with the children of God than to go after the pleasures of sin for a season. Your choice of faith will directly impact many, but especially for us who are raising our children in church, and we want our children to become men and women of faith, what we do in our stance of faith is going to absolutely directly impact their life. I wonder at some time, maybe, when Moses was out watching his sheep in the desert, and he looks over and there's a bush on fire that's not burning up. And he was drawn to that bush, and then all of a sudden the voice says, Moses, take off your shoes, for you're walking on holy ground. I wonder if at some time or the other, maybe he wanted to run. Maybe at some time or the other, maybe he didn't feel like his faith. Actually, if you recall, he even questioned God. God, why me? Why would you use me? But I wonder at some time or the other, if it didn't come back to his mind, wait a minute, I remember my mama had faith in God. And look what God did. God saved my life. God put me in the right place at the right time. Mama got to raise me. Mama got paid for raising me. I lived there with Pharaoh. I got out of Pharaoh's house, and now I've been out here in the wilderness for 40 years, and now God's speaking to me. I wonder if all of that didn't flood through his mind as that burning bush is talking to him that day. And then his life was absolutely impacted by faith, by the illustration of faith. You know I talk about Silas a lot. And I guess it's because he's 16, and I'm wanting him to be a man, but I'm still wanting him to be my little boy. I'm wanting him to grow up and be responsible, but I'm also wanting to still do everything for him. I'm wanting him to know how to make the right choices and to get out here and be independent, but I still want to hold his hand through every choice that he has to make to be sure he makes the right ones. Well, you know what I can do? That was lay more of a foundation than anything else. Well, first of all, prayer. Pray. I've learned with teenagers, you pray. Second of all, I can't kill him and bury him and dig him back up when he's 25, so I got to do something else. And that is let my life be an example of faith in front of him. If he sees faith in my life, maybe somewhere along the line, he'll see faith for his own life. But now I'm going to lay it on you too, church. See, he don't just watch me because I'm daddy. I have noticed something with my kids playing ball. Most of the time if I'm coaching with someone else and I see that my kids are doing something incorrectly, I'll go to that other coach and I'll say, hey, why don't you go over and tell Silas he needs to stay down on the ball. And he'll look at me and say, look, he's not staying down on the ball. But if I go tell him, I'm just his dumb old daddy. If you go over and tell him, you're a coach, he respects you, he's going to listen to you. So you know what? Even though I try to live my life as a life of faith in front of my children are all also watching you. And your children are watching me. And we're all watching each other, whether you want to admit it or not. And that is the reason it's important that we stand on our faith, that we become these heroes of faith. Hey, my son knows who Lynn Weddle is. My son knows that tomorrow, if he's out somewhere and he hears that Lynn Weddle has just absolutely went bonkers, more than he is, but really, really just lost his testimony, and I'll stop there. But if my son hears that, don't think for just a minute that it won't maybe make him question a little bit of faith. If all of a sudden you just quit showing up one Sunday, don't think that my daughters won't ask me in the car, hey, where's so-and-so been? And it's not really even about that. It's about our faith in Christ and our relationship with Christ. But just realize that our whether or not we become these heroes of faith absolutely impact others who are around us. And this is not a, hey, we need to whip it into shape and we need to be about the do's and the don'ts. No, this is about let's get a relationship with Jesus Christ and let our faith in him be one of the most important things in our entire life. I know that I need to do that, and I trust as we all sit here tonight that maybe something in this has helped you, that we'll learn to look unto God and give all of our faith and all of our trust to him in order for him to use us for his glory, but also that we may impact others. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. God, I pray that you'll help me to always be the Christian that I should be. God, let my faith grow stronger. God, I want to be, not that anybody would name my name or anything like that, but God, I want to be one of those heroes of faith that I may impact others, that I will either point others to the cross or that you'll get glory out of my life, or maybe that some Christian who is trying to make that decision or whether they're going to continue to follow you or whether they're going to take a back seat, God. God, I want my life to show in a way that putting faith and trust in you is the only way to live this life, and there's nothing more important than our relationship with you. God, I pray for all the prayer requests that's been made known tonight. I pray for the ones that we had on our hearts that we didn't mention out loud. And God, I pray that you'll strengthen us as a church body. I pray that you'll strengthen our faith, help us to give you glory and honor. And God, I pray that you'll make us a place that sinners come in, they feel the power and the presence of God, and they accept Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. And all these things we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.